Go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. Today we're going to be dealing with another walk that is mentioned here. We've gone through several walks here. Last week we were talking about the importance of walking in the light, not walking in the darkness, or that was a couple weeks ago. Today, we're going to resume this walk in verse number 15. We're going to read down through verse number 20. And there, honestly, there's a lot of instructions that comes with this when it comes to you and I walking with wisdom. And let's be honest with ourselves, we always don't do that, do we? Matter of fact, we have a walk sometime that's foolish, and the world sees that in us at times. But thank God that we're able to go to Him and seek forgiveness and say, "Hey, God, I've had a foolish walk here lately. Please forgive me." And He can put us back on the straight path once again. So always keep that in mind. So let's begin reading here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read down through verse number 15 through verse number 20. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thank always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, as before we go into our lesson this morning, you folks know I always like to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to ask you again, God, please speak to my heart. Show me what you want me to learn today. And God, please remove the distractions. That's what I want you to go to God in prayer for this morning. And at the same time, pray for me. That the words that come out of my mouth aren't my words, but they're God's words. Because a lot of you folks don't understand this. If you haven't taken a pulpit or if you haven't taught a class before, there is a huge spiritual battle that takes place right behind me. And that is Satan. Satan's wanting to destroy everything that God wants to do. So keep those things in mind. As any preacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist, whoever gets up here and gives the word of God, keep those in mind, and it'll help us along the way. Let's pray. Lord, again, I'm grateful that I'm able to stand behind this pulpit again this morning, to be able to give your word to your people. Lord, it's been preached many, many times. And God, I know that there have been better men who have come forth and given the gospel better than myself or anybody else. But God, I pray this morning, you have me here this morning, and I pray that you'd use me to speak to your people. God, I pray that again, I pray so many times in my life as I take a pulpit, Lord, that I would not say anything against your word, that I would not cause you any embarrassment as well. And Lord, I pray that for the ones that are in here this morning, I pray that our hearts would be attentive to your word. Lord, I just want lives to be changed, and I pray that that would take place this morning. Lord, there are some who aren't with us this morning because of sickness. Lord, I specifically think of the Nelsons as I received a message from them this morning. I pray that you just put your hand of healing upon them. Lord, I know it's their desire to be here this morning, but God, I'm thankful today that we're able to have our services out online and they're able to partake with us this morning through video. And so God, I pray that you just bless each and every one of us that's here this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Walking with wisdom. Walking with wisdom. This is the message this morning, or the lesson. This morning we will see the importance of what it means to be walking with wisdom. And I hope that I can give you a better understanding of this today. Wisdom is something that a person should be striving to have, not just in the spiritual life, Of course, obviously, when we become a believer, we should seek to have the wisdom that is in God's Word, and we need to be striving for those things. So, but not only in that, but we should be striving to have wisdom, whether if it's in business. You're always wanting to make yourself better when you're in a business world. You want your company to grow. If you're the head of the company, if you're a supervisor, you want to have wisdom to direct the ones that are underneath you so that they can do the job that they need to do to obviously make that company more productive as well. So there's wisdom in God's family. There's wisdom in the business world. But there's also some other areas in wisdom that we need to be seeking to have too. That would qualify for us as a husband or a wife. We need to be seeking God's wisdom in that area. Lord, let me put it to you this way. For the wife, the wife should do something like this in this nature. Lord, I thank you for the husband that you've given me. I thank you for the God-fearing man. But God, would you please give him the spiritual ability to lead our family closer to you. And begin to pray, God, I know that Satan is going to begin to attack him. Satan's going to try to destroy our family. But God, would you please give him that wisdom? So when those things do happen, that my husband will be directed to the Word of God so that he can guide our family closer to you. That would be a good prayer for a wife, for her husband, wouldn't you agree? And then you can have a prayer for the husband, for his wife. And I don't know what to say there, because realistically, you can basically pray the same prayer for your wife. But you might go a little bit further and say, God, I pray that you just give me a God-fearing woman. One that loves your word, one that wants to serve you alongside me, one who wants to help me raise our children up into the nourishment of your word, so that when it comes time for our children to leave the nest, that our children have had the word of God bestowed upon their life, and they can go out into this world and serve you the way that they've been equipped. That'd be a good prayer for a husband to pray for his wife. Also, you can pray this as well. Lord, help her to continue to fall in love with you every single day. That would be a good prayer. Then you have not only wisdom for that, but there is wisdom for to ask for your children. Your children need wisdom, do they not? Especially you see that at a young age, and you see the immaturity that they have there. And you're thinking, man, when is this child going to wise up? And I've known that I thought that about my daughter. I know that has been thought about my dad with his kids. But you can pray for that as well, because we all need wisdom, do we not? Because you don't want someone walking around foolishly and aimlessly. So as we continue to go on this morning, many of us lack wisdom for this very thing, because we don't ask God to give us wisdom. And I just basically just went over something with you, taking it to God and asking him to give you wisdom. Turn your Bibles to the book of James chapter 1, if you will, please. James chapter 1. This will show us the importance of asking for wisdom. Verse number 5, it says this. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. Would that qualify us this morning? Do we not lack wisdom sometimes, especially in the Word of God? There are some things that I don't understand in God's Word. And so when I don't understand it, here's what I do. God, please give me the ability to understand what you want me to learn from your Word. So it goes on here. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, it says this, let him ask of God. So if we don't have the wisdom that we need to have, what do? We go to God. And God is going to do what for us? He says this at the end of this verse. It says that, give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So to sum this up, you ask wisdom from God, what is God going to do? He's going to give it to you. He wants you to have the wisdom, so he's going to give it to you. 2 weeks ago, we saw the importance of why we should walk in the light instead of darkness. And this morning, we're going to continue this theme of walking. Verse number 15, Paul uses a word here that some of us probably have never really looked up the meaning. So I just said today, this morning, that there's some areas that I don't understand and I lack some wisdom. And this word, I did not understand what this meant. And so I thank God for giving men and women the knowledge and the ability to write down the meaning of the words. And here's a word that I've never really looked at. It says in verse number 15, you see then that ye walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. He says that's to be a part of our walk. So to give us a better understanding of this word, I'm going to give you the definition, what this word really means. Because it really goes along with walking with wisdom. Here it is. It means to be careful, to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. That's what that word means for us this morning. The fool's walk is one that doesn't really take anything into consideration. Have we ever seen that in people's walks? We've seen how they just kind of walk aimlessly. They don't really care about the consequences. They don't really care about the circumstances about them, and they're foolish. I remember years ago we went to at the time it was the Big 12 championship, and we went down to Kansas City, and we began to watch Nebraska. I think that was the last time they were ever in some type of a championship game. That's been many moons ago. We began to watch that game, and I will tell you what, just to set the scene up a little bit, it was extremely cold outside. We just got dumped on with a lot of snow. We went to the stadium. I was thinking, man, it's going to be warm in there. There's going to be a lot of people. We're going to have a lot of body heats. And the snow that's outside, it's not going to be inside the stadium. Little did I know that that was a lie. It was still freezing with all the people there, Q. And what I didn't realize is the snow was still there. What I began to see take place was unusual, because no matter where you're at, there's always going to be somebody that's not thinking about themselves and they're not thinking about other individuals. And so during this football game, we are sitting in the end zone area. I can't remember how high up we were. I'm just glad I wasn't in the other section where it was really high up, because I don't like looking straight down. It bothers me a little bit. And I remember watching this gentleman. He takes off. He was sitting close to us, and he takes off, and he goes to the concession stands. And 5-10 minutes later, he comes back, and he's got some beverages in his hand. Obviously, he's been drinking a little bit. And not really thinking about what is around him, not thinking about anybody else, here's what he does. He begins to walk down, drunk as can be, and he slips and falls. And I kid you not, he almost goes over the top rail. And I'm thinking to myself, what a nut. What is that guy? That's a guy who's walking foolishly, not having any wisdom at all. So he wasn't taking anything in consideration at this point in time. And so as we continue, the process here, when we're walking as a fool, could end up causing a lot of heartache for themselves and others as well. Each step in the walk of a believer should be taken carefully, as it was mentioned with the definition of circumspectly. It also should be a walk that many of us might not even think about this, but I hope that I can get you to think about this morning as we continue to walk in wisdom, or with wisdom, however you want to word that. We need to pray for each step. Each step that we take should be carefully considered, prayed for. That would help us along the way not to begin to walk in the ways of the fool. It's amazing how you begin to pray for your walk and how God begins to guide you along your way. A walk that is thought out and carefully considered will hopefully and should cause us to have a walk that is glorifying to God. Because as a believer, that's what our walk should be. It shouldn't be a walk that's glorifying and pleasing to man, but it should be a walk that's glorifying to God. Because that's what our life should be about from the time of salvation until the time that we walk in the glory with Him, is glorifying Him here on earth. By the way, we're still going to glorify Him in heaven. I believe one of the songs that we're going to sing up there that we sing down here is Holy, Holy, Holy. A lot of people don't like that song. I think personally you might have to get used to that song because I believe that's a song that we're going to sing up there. I picture myself on many different occasions just not sitting in a chair or not even standing up, but I picture us as a group of people being down on our knees and just crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That to me is a beautiful tone or a tune that comes out of our mouth. So we should have a walk that is wanting to glorify God. The walk of a fool doesn't take in consideration the walk that God desires for them to have. They don't take that in consideration. Paul simply says, don't walk as fools, but he doesn't end up there because he begins to give us some good instructions in these next four or five verses. So he says, don't walk as fools, but let's read this here. It says, see ye then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but what are the last three words of this verse? But as wise. But as wise. That's how he desires for us to walk. Remember what is taking place during the church at this point in time. There's pagan worship. There's a lot of perversion that's taken place, that the lifestyle that's going on there. And Paul has observed the walk of people there. He has seen the foolishness that has taken place. And so he's warning the people, hey, don't allow yourself to get lured into the situation to where it's going to take you away from God and you're going to be walking in the walk of a fool. So Paul's trying to prepare these folks here. By the way, we know that he's writing this letter from prison, but Paul's also been there. He's seen this lifestyle. So let us not forget that the world that he lived in was perverted, filled with pagan worship. He has pointed out their foolishness. And why is it foolish? For this reason. Because they were not about serving the Lord. Paul is dealing with a church here that he is desiring them to stay, I'm going to use this word, stay connected. Stay connected to God. Don't allow the outside influences to begin to draw you away from God. Don't allow that foolish lifestyle to be attractive to you. By the way, it can become attractive. Why can't it become attractive? Because of our flesh. We are still dealing with our flesh. Don't be fooled. We deal with it every single day. And so Paul here, he's trying to be a help to them. So it's foolish because they're not about serving the Lord. Instead, here's what they were doing. They were more concerned about pleasuring themselves, serving themselves. And so when you want to really think about this and break this down, that's a foolish lifestyle. Okay, so we're going to continue to go on. He goes on in verse number 16. He says it for this reason. Says, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. By the way, here we are, years later. Are not the days still evil? They are. It seems it could be worse than what it was back then. Honestly, I don't know about that. I think they were more open back then. Today, we can do things in secret. We're able to hide a lot more back then. We seclude ourselves. So here, it hasn't changed. The days are evil. And can I tell you why the days are evil? It's simple, because man's evil. Man's evil. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So are you saying, Chad, this morning that we're all evil? I believe we have some evilness in our life. I believe our mind allows us to think evilly. I believe we allow ourselves to think evil one of another, which is why Paul was so adamant about in a lot of his letters, as he was speaking about being in unity with one another. That's important for us to understand. Because if we're thinking ill towards another person, what's that saying? It's saying, hey, we got some evilness in us, and we can care less about being in unity with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what that's saying? It's saying, you know what? God, I know some of the Bible, but I'm going to reject this part of the Bible. Let me say this. That's foolish thinking. It's foolish thinking. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. So as we continue to go on here, verse number 17, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So Paul, again, he's reiterating an important message here. He tells them, be not unwise. But he doesn't stop there, because with wisdom, you should get something out of that. And what is that? That's understanding. Write this one down. Understanding, or having knowledge of the circumstances that you are in. See, a foolish person can care less about their circumstances. A foolish person can care less if they cause bodily harm to themselves, or if they cause any bodily harm to anybody else. Or, let me put this out there, mental harm. Because we have, in our society today, people who want to attack the mind of an individual, and they're doing it mentally. So a foolish person, they can care less about having any understanding of the circumstances that they're in. Ask a drunk man. I'm being serious. When they're drunk and fully intoxicated, they can care less. And that's just how they are. I'm going to tell you a story, because we're going to be speaking about this a little bit ago. You guys know that I have dry humor. Some of you guys think it's really funny. Some of you guys just don't get it. And I understand those things. But when I was working on one of my jobs years ago, I was probably about 20, 21 years of age, and I was working for Strike Turf. It was I'm going to be honest with you, it was one of the best jobs. I thoroughly enjoyed this job. I love going around and putting chemicals on the yards and spraying and killing the weeds. I thought that was pretty cool, you know. Had a holster, put my wand in there, walking around, I take it up, you're dead. But I enjoyed those things. And Wayne and I, we worked together for years, and he gave me a lot of knowledge in the yard business. But I remember years ago, this was said to me, because of my humor that some people got, obviously some of you don't get it this morning, that's okay. But they said, man, Chad, we got to get you to drink because you're funny sober. I can just imagine how funny you're going to be as a drunk person. You know, I kind of chuckled at that, but I was sitting there thinking to myself, I don't want to do that. That's not me. And I'm thinking to myself, that's foolish thinking. Now, I could have very well easily said, you know what? I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to show you how funny I can be. And I'm gonna go out with you guys one night and just we'll live it up on the town, and I can become a fool just like you. I didn't do that, nor did I say that to them. I was thankful the teaching of my mom and dad. And by the way, as I say this, don't think that I'm any better than anybody else, because I'm not. Because there's other things that I struggled with. There's other things in my closet that I dealt with, that I still deal with today. And I was thankful for the teachings that I was able to have. And I can say this today, and I know most people can't say this. I've never, ever been drunk. Ever. I maybe had a hungover from NyQuil for sickness, but I've never had those things. Okay? So as we continue to go on, he pointed out their way is foolish. Verse number 17, it says, be ye not wise. Paul wants them to be wise for this reason. The end of this verse explains it very well. So that we will know what the will of the Lord is. See, a foolish person isn't going to go around and say, God, I want to know your will. Would you please show me your will? No, a foolish person is not going to go around saying that. A foolish person is going to get consumed in himself, and he's going to get consumed in all the other things that he's in. And God's going to be way over here, not even going to be on his mind. And so a fool is going to be wandering aimlessly around throughout the world, seeking to pleasure himself and to pleasure the men and women that he has surrounded himself with. And so a foolish person is not going to be seeking the will of God. But the wise. The wise person, the believer, should be seeking the will of God. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Some of God's children, even today, have no idea what the will of God is for them in their life. Do you not think it's the same as what we talked about in James chapter 1, verse number 5? If we lack wisdom, what should we do? Ask. So if we don't know the will of God in our life, what should we do? Ask. There are so many of God's children that have no idea what his will is for them in their life because, I'm just going to be as plain, as honest as I can be, because they don't care and they don't want to ask. I wonder today how many of God's children, and I'm not talking about just in our church, but in other churches across this country, where there have probably been many men and women who have been called into the ministry, but they don't go because they don't ask, because they don't want to know the will of God is in their life. We had a missionary here last week, only 32 years of age. I was really impressed with him. I really was. I was impressed with his golf game as well. I kid you not, he would line up in that direction, and he would actually end, the ball would end up there by Matt. It's crazy. Here's this young man who has no saved parents, but God somehow, I don't know how this story goes in his life, but somehow he ended up in church. He got saved. His dad still has a lucrative business in Florida, was going to give that business to him. But Brother Nick says, Dad, God's called me to the mission field. Why did God call him to the mission field? Why did he know that God was calling him to the mission field? Because he was seeking the will of God in his life. At the age of 32, he's probably a lot wiser than a lot of us in here, because he's wanting to do the will of God. Taking his wife and his two kids to Japan, who really, you begin to hear about the stats there of Christianity, but that's not stopping him. It would stop a fool, but it's not stopping this wise man. We don't know what it means to do God's will at times because we're not seeking the will of God. And it might be because we're comfortable to be walking around like the foolish people. Paul, in the next verse, is going to give an example of a fool's walk. Verse number 18, it says this. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Some may disagree with this, and that's okay. And let me say this. I am never here to pass my personal conviction upon you. That's not my goal. That's not my objective. And I say that for this reason. I am not the Holy Spirit. If I tell Charlie, Charlie, it is wrong for you to go to the movies, then that's passing my, what is that word I just said? Conviction upon you. If I said, Charlie, you are not allowed to wear shorts, that's passing my personal conviction upon you. By the way, if you want to look like you were supposed to look in the Bible times, then we all should be wearing robes and sandals. Seriously. If you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of things, and you want to do those things, then we should be in church every single night. Well, Chad, we're not practicing the Bible here. We're not doing this and that. Well, you want to get back to what the Bible says? I guarantee you, if we had church every night, the church wouldn't be full. It's just a matter of fact. Again, that's my personal conviction. So I just want to tell you, I cannot give you my personal convictions because that's the Holy Spirit's job. Okay? I just want you to understand that. But here's what I see in Scripture. Paul observed the ways of the people, and what a majority of them were doing was this. They were drunken fools. By the way, if you want to see drunken fools and how they act, all you have to go is go to the East End town on a Friday night and Saturday night and drive by there. You'll see the foolishness of people. You'll see some things that you shouldn't see either. This at times has become one of the most debated subjects against God's people today. Some will believe that they can drink. Some believe that they can't. Again, my personal conviction, and this is mine, is not to drink, and that is what I see from Scripture. But the Bible does say to use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And there have been times where, when I have been sick, where I will go to the cabinets or to the local pharmacy, and I will get some NyQuil. Because if I don't have that, then I have a coughing fit. By the way, I will say this. Ever since my AFib 3 years ago, I don't take any medicine, but some Advil on occasions. The last 3 or 4 weeks, you guys know that I've had this coughing fit. There's times where I want to take that stuff, but my mind, it's in my mind. If I take it, I'm going to go back into AFib, because that's what a lot of that started, was when I was taking those things. And so I just don't do it. That's my conviction. Now, Chris, on the other hand, she's saying, Chad, Lord God, please, don't let him be a fool tonight. Let him be wise. Let him take this NyQuil so that I can sleep. But I'm not here to pass that upon you, but that's just my conviction. I will say this, and I need to say this. I can't tell you how to live your life. That's not my job. I can show you how you should. I can direct you on what I think is what you should be living, but that's ultimately up to God. I cannot play God in your life. What Paul had observed was a lifestyle that was foolish, a lifestyle that wasn't pleasing to God. What I do know is this, if I choose to sit at home and consume alcohol and become intoxicated and go out and get arrested, it wouldn't go over well with you folks, would it? Well, Chad Springer's in church in the jail cell this morning. He's not up here giving Sunday school, and he's in the jail cell this morning because he was living foolishly. Could you imagine, Charlie, me calling you at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, Charlie, can you come bust me out of jail? I need some bail money. Well, what'd you do? Well, I got drunk. And Charlie, I'd hope he'd say, call someone else. And I would say, but Charlie, I called my wife and she won't come. She told me to sleep on it. But anyways, we continue to go on. The first thing that would probably come out of our mouth would be this. What a foolish man. He just threw everything away. He just ruined his testimony. Everything that he has tried to teach us over the years, They no longer mean anything because I accepted the ways of the fool. We have a higher standard of living that we have been called to. We are to be striving. We are and should be living for Christ every single day. It's not my place to cast judgment towards those who seek to drink. That's not my place. I can simply say this. I don't agree with that lifestyle. And I don't want to be that reason that might bring offense to somebody. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 14, verse number 13. Because the last thing I want to do is if someone was to see me, then I would be offensive towards them. But here's what Romans 14, verse number 13 says. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Boy, that's something that we need to read every day. Because that's exactly what we do. We judge people. We judge them by their outward appearance. Well, they don't dress properly. By the way, you can have a clothing that covers you from your eyelids all the way down to your pinky toes and still have a cruel heart. And so many people think it's the outward appearance, and we begin to judge people. I have seen people who don't dress the way that we think they should dress have more spiritual wisdom than we'd ever think, and honestly have a better walk with God than a lot of us. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So what's that saying? Well, if you choose to consume in alcohol and this brother chooses not to, and you're going to offend him, don't become a stumbling block. Plain and simple. Don't allow an occasion to fall in his way to maybe allow temptation to come into his life. I want to get off this subject real quick. Can I just be honest with you? If you struggle with any of these things, let's just name something. If you struggle with alcohol, or let's throw this out there, and we don't talk about this much. If you struggle with smoking, I had a person ask me, what's your verse on smoking? I really can't tell you one, but be not puffed up. It's the only one I can think of. You know, I got that from Pastor years ago. And I'm glad you guys are laughing at it, because if it would have failed, that's his joke. But here's what I'm saying about those things. Can we just start being real with each other? I'm serious. Well, I'm ashamed, and I don't want people to see me. Let me tell you this: you're doing it in front of God. I just rather people be honest. For this reason, so that I can pray for them, not judge them, but pray for them. Coming to get back in here. So if I was to be drunk and another brother sees it, I can become a stumbling block to him. That, my friend, is a walk of a fool. Also, if someone was a recovering alcoholic, think about this. Why would we even talk about it? Even our very conversation about it can become offensive. If we are constantly walking around as fools in drunkenness, doing or even knowing the will of God in our lives would be far from our thinking. But Paul gives us an antidote here. Paul, instead of being drunk with wine, here's what he wants us to do. The end of this verse says, to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit gives us so many advantages in life. And I'm going to try to hurry through this because my time's running out and I got to get through this because this is important. It would also help us to know what the will of God is for us, because walking with him allows us to be filled with the Spirit. So what could some of the benefits be for those who choose to be filled with the Spirit? One, it will allow us not to be so critical to fellow believers. But there is more than that. Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul is addressing the church here, not individuals. Paul says in verse number 19, that we will be able to speak and sing songs to each other. We will have a melody in our hearts. That melody will come forth with praise, not to each other, but it will come forth with praise to the Lord God. And I still don't understand how some choose not to sing in church. With this statement, Paul says we should be filled with the Spirit. And with the Spirit brings joy out of our mouth. It doesn't matter if we have the world's worst song leader or the world's best song leader or the world's worst piano player or the world's best piano player. Because we're filled with the Spirit, we should have a song in our hearts. It continues to go on. Verse 20 says, we will give thanks, not when we just feel like it, but it says always. But it's specific where the thanks should be. It'll be unto God and the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does this happen, folks? Goes back to our verse in verse number 15. This happens by walking circumspectly, by being careful, by taking things into consideration, by walking away from the foolish things of the world and begin walking with God. It's not to be a careless walk, but it is to be a careful walk. As I said earlier, with each step being prayed for. How many of us today, realistically, have prayed for our steps throughout the day? Well, how do we pray for our steps? God, would you please guide my feet away from this bar right now? God, would you please guide my feet away from the pornography that's there right now? God, would you please guide my feet away from being so judgmental and harsh towards other believers? God, would you please guide my feet to you so that I'm no longer walking as a fool? I'll be walking as a wise man. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you bless in these next few moments that we can have fellowship with one another. We love you this morning because you first loved us. Lord, again, thank you for not staying in that grave. I am so thankful today that we serve a living Savior. We love you again. In your name, amen.